And also things that cripple people are from God. Because there's not anything made. It was not made by him. And all our pains and so on and so forth, we can complain about it. But also we need to remember that just because everyone else has a good life doesn't mean we're owed one either. It makes me fear. I think sometimes my life is so good, it's a fearful thing to me. When I think of the suffering of others, it's like, boy, I don't deserve better than they do. I'm not better than them, yet I have a better life. It's good to be mindful of those things. He is the author and finisher of our faith and of all things. Now here it's important to remember that it is your faith he's authored and finished. And that gives me a lot of hope, right? It gives you a lot of confidence going forward to think that my faith is not depending on me. It's depending on him. And I'm looking to him, believing on him, trusting in him to fulfill the promises of God in me, to make me a son of God. I look to him for that. I look for the power from on high. I look for those things to be built up in me. And whatever has been built on me, I look that it should not be torn down, but that it should be built up even greater in him. To the measure of the perfect man, to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Right? We have to grow up into Christ. We shall be like him. 1 John 3. So he endured the cross. He's our example. Look at, he endured the cross. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He endured the cross. So we have to endure whatever it is we have to endure. And I know that everything that's happened to me in my life is nothing like the cross. It is not such an, you know, I mean, he suffered the loss of everything right there in the world. Everything in the world he lost. His freedom, his comfort, and his life. But for what? The joy that was set before him, he endured it. For the eternal life. And that's what we have to do with every little piddly thing. You know, it's in some ways you feel like, wow. You know, if I was faced with a cross, I would really rise to the occasion. And I think I would be strong. I would face up to it and I would be, I would do God proud. You know, a lot of times you feel like the trials of my life, you know, the little things, the little sins, they're so little and it's so hard to take care of the little things. You know, and you feel like if I just had something greater, I don't, there's feelings that have come to me in the past. I thought if it was just greater, you know, when I was young, I longed for the tribulation. I thought in the tribulation, I'll really straighten my act out. I'll really straighten out when the tribulation comes. He who has been faithful in least is faithful in much. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how will you do with horses? How will you do with chariots? How will you do with tanks? What's saying is if the little things cause you more trouble than you can bear, if you cannot resist the little things, how will you resist the temptations when the big things come? And I do suppose, and that's true, I'm not going to contradict myself much, but there is this also thing, when you're faced with death, though, right, you know it's all on the line. You think to yourself, if I deny Christ here, right, because when it's a small sin, we don't think our lives are at stake. We don't look at it in terms of death and hell, you know? We don't look at it like that. When there's a small thing at stake, you just sin and go on with your life because you've done it thousands of times and you've seen there's really no consequence beyond the small consequence if the sin was found out in life. And though you avoid that, and lies do much to, in those situations, right? You avoid those consequences or try to. But you know that damnation is not going to fly out of the heavens, or you think so. I wonder how many people thought that right before they took their final breath. Maybe it was a chance accident in the car or something else, you know, and the fear of God suddenly would have done them much good. And I'm no better, But I do exercise myself in the fear of God, and we all ought to exercise ourselves in the fear of God, and to think that those small things are not as small as they seem, and that many men, for small sins, for working iniquity over and over again, will fail to inherit eternal life. They will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That is what God is using to bar entry. We see Jesus in the Gospels, he says so. He says, when they come to me and say to me, have we not done many wonderful works in your name, Lord? They believe in him. They call him Lord. And he will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He says, I never knew you. They weren't his chosen. He never knew them. And they worked iniquity. The works of iniquity are what's going to distinguish them. In fact, the Apostle John said, the way you tell the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil is very simple. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, the seed of God, and he cannot sin. We want the seed of God to abide in us so that we would become not sinners, but saints. Right? Saints and sinners, we want to be saints while walking the earth. Paul talked about a lot of people being saints. He talked to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints here. Obviously, he wasn't talking to dead people. You know, there is shame sometimes in righteousness. There is. The cross was a shameful thing. They crucified people pretty much naked. And so it was shameful. You're hung up there. It's saying, I did something bad. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad boy. And I'm crucified. I'm being hung up here to die. Slowly and painfully, in the nude. So, you know, they got you pierced through your hands, your wrists, whatever. It's all part of the same thing. They pierce you and they hang you, and it's shameful. It's a shameful way to die. Death is not a pretty thing, and there's no real good way to do it. You know, hanging, electric chair. I always think the lethal injection, that sounds very unpleasant. But here's the point. But for righteousness' sake, it's all glory. Because they're not killing you because you're a bad boy. So there was shame in it. But Jesus despised the shame. He didn't hold it in any value. You know what I mean? He put no value on it. Shame? Huh. Not the shame. It wasn't for the shame of the cross that Christ wept in the garden. It was not for the shame. You know, there was an intense trial of pain and death, and I assume it was along those lines.